Welcome to the Play Talk podcast.
Hi, I'm Max.
And I'm Sarah.
Okay, so here we are with our play items, and I'm going first. And I have got a prop because it's not visual for anybody listening, but it is visual. And there is always something a bit funny about a carrot. Let's not think why, really, but I've got a carrot and I've got it in bits. And so our brief to each other was to think of something, well, basically re-engage with, like, think about something playful and play and joyful and an object, wasn't it? Like we did with Stick and Switch. And so I've been, being at work thinking, to really try to tune in to sort of ideas or objects and things. And then basically at lunchtime with children, a couple of things came up, basically food. Play and food became the thing that really made me laugh and intrigued me. And there's two things about it, but one was a carrot. So here is a carrot from my house that I've chopped up. And sadly, this carrot doesn't have the playful qualities that the children had when I was at lunch with them. Because, if you have a raw carrot to eat, I would cut it long ways. Would you cut it into like batons? Is that what you would do? I would have a raw carrot in a baton myself.
Honestly, I'm a bit more feral than that, and I just kind of eat it Bugs Bunny style.
Eat it without any kind of cutting. Well, this day, the food arrived, and it was raw carrot cut into little slices like this. Which, for me, I don't know, I'm obviously very stuck in my ways, because I thought, oh, that looks like it's cooked. That's really confusing me. That looks like a cooked carrot.
I see, yes, okay.
I need my little crudités and night-long sticks. But obviously, I'm just boring an old adult. But the thing with it being cut raw like that was that the core had fallen out. So the little round bit in the middle was just popping out. And this carrot doesn't do it because it's, I don't know, maybe some different kind of carrot. Who knows what that was?
But
can you picture that little round core bit in the carrot? Was just popping out and made these beautiful little mini circles and these lovely little carrots with holes in. And
I don't think I've seen that before. That sounds like a magical carrot.
Well, it was a magical carrot because, of course, what do children do with that? They don't go, oh, yes, I'll eat my carrot. They go, wow, whole. And then had got all the little bits of slices and had kind of arranged them on the plate and was pulling the holes out, and it was beautiful and fun and just like a total reminder of like food as play. But food as play while she was eating it, not like, oh, we can get onto that maybe later, but rather than have food over here as a play resource, it was like,
yes,
lunch is a play resource. And the other thing, so I'm just kind of cracking on, because that was the first thing, and so then I think probably I was totally attuned, I was eating alongside them, eating the cheesy pasta, which is always everyone's favourite, they then went on to that whole discussion, and you know when you like hear a kind of play and you're like, oh, that's familiar, I remember that sort of play. They were basically, I don't know how it started, that's the thing as well, something happens and you think, I don't know how this started, but now everybody is in it and everyone knows the game, and the game is, I'm eating my cheesy pasta, this is me miming eating my cheesy pasta,
yeah,
and you basically name somebody and connect it to that food and you're eating them, so it's like, pasta with you, Max. I'd say, I'm eating you, Max, and then you would laugh and I would laugh because we know I'm not eating you, but we have somehow all agreed that we are making the pasta a person, and we're deciding who that person is, and we're claiming them and we're eating them, and everything about that is just, it was, everyone was thinking it was hilarious, but when you unpack it, it's just like, it's so complicated, you know.
Yeah, like, that's some. Is it transubstantiation?
Yes, that's what I was thinking. It's very adult. It's not silly, but it's also completely bonkers nonsense, isn't it? It's like, you are the pasta, and someone goes, "Yeah, I'm the pasta," and yeah, you're eating me. I haven't given you permission, but I'm giving you permission because I'm thinking it's funny. It's like that whole crazy what if feeling about play in one.
And why is it funny inherently to be eating someone?
Absolutely.
Because it's silly.
It's not funny, is it? It's awful.
It's
silly. It's silly. And they're not the pasta. But I've decided that they are the pasta. And I've taken ownership of them. And I'm going, ha ha ha, I'm eating you, na 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 na. And all they can do is go, oh, like, well, I'm eating you. And then kind of a comeback, a sort of to-ing and fro-ing.
Yeah. The question that just came to mind for me was, was, yeah, what was the, like, the people, when someone was, gets identified as the person being eaten, is that like, I got picked, or is it, hey,
yeah,
how dare you?
I didn't say
you're gonna, eat you back. Like,
yes, it was like that. It was a sort of playful, how dare you, I'm gonna eat you back.
Yeah,
and obviously then the children are choosing people that the part of that they know will be part of the game. But also, I just, you know, it's a whole adult looking into child world, and it made me go, oh, I remember now that feeling. I remember that, how you could do that. But the sense, you know, no one had to explain the rules and go, well, we're doing this really weird thing. Well, we pretend that you're the pastor. Obviously, that somehow that started, and anyone else that joined and sat down just picked it up and joined in. And then it bubbled up for a while, and everyone was eating each other, and then they kind of moved on to something else, and then it popped back up again, you know. Meantime, Someone with a carrot was putting out the little holes and making a little arrangement of carrot. I just had a moment of like, oh, I must tell Max, talk about this with Max, because it just was fun. And fortunately, and then it triggered other thoughts about play. And to be honest, as an adult in the space, that it was quite easy. It was fun, it play, it was nice, and it wasn't getting messy. So I have to be honest, there was an element of, oh, this is fun, and also the pastor's not being thrown everywhere. So that's whereas other things totally, children sometimes are playing with food in ways that are a little bit more boundary pushing for adults, sort of like pulling up the soup and letting it drip, and you're like,
yeah.
Or she's looking with me, we have like bread with soup, and you know, she's put the potato in the soup, and I'm like, okay, I'm fine with that. But equally, you can tell the child's going, I've put the bread in the soup, not the potato in the soup, and this is against the social norms, and I'm playing with that, and you're my audience.
Yeah.
And I think, how much do you want me to be the audience? Or how much do I want to go, yeah, potato and soup, that's amazing. And crush exactly, them with my lack of disapproval. Oh, anyway.
Yeah, I was just thinking, yeah, because obviously, like, food and eating and meal times, there's so many rules around them from quite a young age, right? I mean, obviously, it, you know, massively varies culturally and just from household to household, I'm sure, but I feel like probably most places have some kind of, whether they call it that or not, rituals and rules around what happens when food comes out, which means there's just lots there to play with socially.
Completely.
That's
the thing, isn't it? And that's what play is about, isn't it? Well, it's made up many things, but playing with the boundaries, playing with the rules, changing them, having control over them. And I part of our job, I don't know, our job, part of the adult thing is that you're keeping the play going and supporting and resourcing, but actually part of the role is to be the, create the boring boundaries for the play to happen again. I was like, well, and also, I am now playing with my carrot. I'm now picking at it with my fingernails in a playful way, which is not what you do with a carrot, but it's that whole thing of an object in your hand. And I'm just talking instead of focusing on eating it, and so I do something with it. So that's quite interesting. I'm playing with the boundaries. But yeah.
I mean, that's really the other thing about food is we talk about sensory play, but we often don't really talk about it in terms of food, which, you know, when we talk about sensory play, we usually forget about taste because, you know, when you're eating, that's not play. but it's obviously a lot in there, just as much as any of the other senses and capacity for playing. And I think it's that thing of when you do often see food used in a play space, it's not there to be eaten. It's like separated out, which is, I find tricky. I'm partly because I'm just a bit squeamish about it, but then also, you know, food waste and but yeah, so it's like, it totally makes sense. Why can't we play with it whilst we're also eating it? That feels actually like the best, sensory play around taste, because we're not wasting food. Kids are eating and they're enjoying it. Great.
And also if they don't like it, they're tasting it going, ugh, and that there's a sort of performance pleasure in the like and dislike. That's disgusting. But at least they tried it a bit, or, you know, they're kind of performing how their reaction is to it, which is a natural thing, but also you know it's entertaining for others when you see someone eat something they don't like. That's funny. Because that's probably, you know, someone's pain is pleasurable. You know, there's...
Well, yeah, because we're saying it's like this thing of like playing with the boundaries of like the social boundaries, but it's also like playing with your own boundaries, right? And I feel like I talk about this a lot when it comes to sensory stuff, to be very general.
Yeah.
Of like, if you have any level of anxiety or stress around trying new things sensorily, you're way more likely to do it in a playful environment than you are if you're sat down at a table and told to eat your broccoli now. So there's probably something in that in itself. I was like a very fussy eater as a kid, but I remember maybe being at a friend's house, and it was like, I feel like a lot of kids have this, is you have like the friend whose house you go to sometimes that everything their family does just seems really weird. And the way I conceptualized it as a kid was like, they're posh, but like, I don't think that's actually, you know, I don't know how much that actually sits in the reality of like of it, but that was just like my concept of as a kid was like, they're different from me, therefore they're posh. That was like how I understood. But anyway, they had couscous. I never seen it before in my life. And I remember like feeling so stressed out about it, but then I started and I missed, oh God, I don't think this went down very well, but I started talking about how it was like eating ants' eggs, and then made like a big performance out of eating it. I feel like there might have been a little word to my parents when which was often the case when I went to play at a kid's house. But I just remember being like, it's ants' eggs, now I'll eat it. Ew, it's so disgusting.
That you kind of transformed it, like, I don't know, it's you can't really get to the meaning of these things, but the link between the people, children transferring their pasta to other people, you transferred it to ants' eggs. You kind of made a game of the fact that I'm eating ants' eggs, you know. Which is a better way. I went to a friend's house once and we had grapefruit for breakfast. I was similarly thinking the same as you, like, oh, fancy. But I did no game. I just suffered. I just ate it in endurance, which was not which was less fun, frankly.
I wasn't a kid who could suffer in silence. My suffering was broadcast.
but that's the thing, isn't it? You turned it into something that you made you manage.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm always a bit reluctant to go too far into trying to make the meaning of it, because
of course,
it's just a play in itself, isn't it? I don't know. And also, just while we're talking, can I just show you my carrot?
Oh, you did it!
Visual description. I have, whilst we were chatting, I've fiddled with a carrot and I've taken the core out and I've got a nice little hole, which is very pretty. And a nice little matches, and you can fit it back in. So you don't need a jigsaw. You get just a carrot and a piece. Oh, yeah.
That's perfect.
But yeah, play and food. And I totally, what you say about play... like food put out to play, and I think years ago I hadn't really thought about it, because I just accepted Play-Doh as part of like life, and then someone pointed it out, and then that, but then I hadn't realised the extent to which a lot of settings use things like cooked spaghetti and cooked food. I was quite surprised
in that
when I first encountered it. I was like, well, you just have that when you eat your dinner, why have you got to do it separately?
I guess it, also the other aspect of it is that you see it a lot in ASN settings and stuff, where having messy play, which if it's inevitable that children are not going to eat it, then having food is the safe option rather than having something else out, you know?
That's it. I think I've gone from hadn't occurred to me, then thought, oh, that's terrible, and then gone, oh, life's complicated. It's sort of somewhere in between, you know? And which is what you do with most things, isn't it? I remember being in a play bus with a whole vat of rice, like dried coloured rice. And basically feeling very aware of all of that in one moment, but also conscious that everyone really liked the feeling of putting their hands in the rice. And I think we did something sensible with the rice afterwards, but I don't know. Life is complicated. That's my conclusion to the judgment on whether you do that or not, because of the reasons that you say. But it just
Get a compost bin. That helps.
Yes.
Let's offset, get a compost. At the end of the day, it can go in the compost bin.
Absolutely.
And then you've got a worm environment to play with and look at as well.
Oh, and then playing with animals. We can do that in another session, playing with worms. Yeah. Oh, we won't go there. Look, let's go to your thing, because we're about halfway through.
Okay, so...
So what's the contrast? The contrast to a carrot is the prompt.
So firstly, I'm aware you introduced this by talking about how we were thinking about sort of joyful stuff and object that kind of represented something. And I realised, and at first look, what I've got does not look remotely joyful. So what I have here...
That's not joyful.
So this is a replica. This is a replica. This is a pale imitation of the ones from the story I'm gonna share a bit. This is a piece of cardboard with the word shame written on it in black letters to kind of be it's like a protest placard is what I'm trying to like embody context. Here, right? Yeah,
instruction rather than feel this.
Yeah. You know, I'm not always great at providing context at the right points.
It created intrigue for me.
So I've got a cardboard protest placard with a word on it. I think I've actually told you this story before, but for the sake of the podcast,
I may have forgotten.
If you've forgotten it, that's great. But otherwise, let's pretend this is new. This is new. The memory that this comes from is last Easter even actually. I was working at a place called Rumpus Room, who I often do play stuff with there. An artist-led organisation based in Glasgow, where I am. And they do various arts and play and social justice, social change kind of projects with kids they do stuff from early years right up to people we still call kids, even though they're like 25. So I was working on their play sessions, and there was a reoccurring theme where some kids would always want to be the snack distributors, the snack captains, the people in charge of the juice crisps and the oat bars. And at Rumpus, it's like an outdoor space. They have a few little structures, but there's one sort of shed, shack with a open door.
Yes.
That was getting used as like the snack hub. So there were some kids who had decided today we're taking on the role of the snack people. They gathered all the stuff and they were dishing out juice and snacks from their snack hub, which is there's something interesting there in itself in terms of that's something you see a lot. It's like there's that play and that fun in taking on that role.
And it's quite,
I think there's a bit of power in there as well.
The power, and also going from play, like pretend play, so actually we are dishing out the snacks in the play.
Yeah,
that kind of border of the two things, you know.
And I think especially like sometimes for slightly older kids as well, when they're maybe, they feel like they need to legitimize their play a little bit, maybe. It's taking on a role, and then it's interesting. So this was happening, but on this day they had some disgruntled customers. Like a lot of the kids were not happy
about the service.
And their thing they were hooked on was that they were watering down the juice too much. And that wasn't okay. I will say it was diluting juice. So it was meant to have water added, but no, it's too much. You'll make it too weak.
Too weak. It's, we need some more sugar.
So they were unhappy. And then we had this other group who were distributing the juice, who were like, very like, no, we're in charge. This is how we're doing it. So where this went was the unhappy customers decided to protest what was happening. Here's where the placards come in.
I love it. I love this.
So they... mine just says shame because I couldn't remember their much wittier and more informative... more informative signs. They made
passion behind them because they were the ones with
But the word shame did come up. I didn't just pull this out of anywhere, which is why I was like, it's a funny. I'll get into that a little bit. So they had their placards and they were chanting. They kind of brought some adults in, sort of young adults who were sort of assisting, came in and were getting involved. This protest was happening. No watering down our juice. We demand better juice. Shame on you. So this was all happening.
Were they laughing and angry, or were they just angry, or do you know what I mean? Like, we're laughing and thinking, oh, it's playful and fun. But what was that for them?
So, I think it started as they were genuinely annoyed. Started in the protest, they got a bit into that and it became more fun.
Yeah.
And then, but there was definitely an undertone of also like, we're not happy. And, you know, I wonder if maybe it wasn't just about the juice. Maybe it was about the fact there were a few kids who had sort of commandeered the snack situation,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
There was maybe, tension started to rise. Like, people started to get a bit upset. Which is when it became, I was, you know, sort of very much observing, paying a lot of attention to what was going on,
and being like,
okay, let's see what happens here. and there was some upset, and they started to more straight up argue rather than in the sort of protest form. And it's funny because, like, the word shame, that seemed to be the thing that really, like, tipped it over, because I think it made it feel a little bit less, I don't know, silly or playful, maybe? And that was, like, a word that they were, the juice makers were taking, were not very happy with. They were like, no, it's going too far. So yeah, there were sort of these tensions, and then there were some tears, there was some upset, and I was sort of there, I guess mediating, but mediating feels like maybe a bit of a strong word, because I don't think there wasn't a lot of mediation really needed. It was that kind of thing, and this is another thing why I think it's really interesting about this example, is I think it's a really good example of where play doesn't have to be all the good emotions. I say good, and you know, play is also frustration, figuring stuff out, and maybe getting annoyed, and then getting upset, but then kind of working through that. So, yeah, this was all happening, and I was kind of just having little conversations with kids as they were coming to me, and it was almost like they were coming to me like bounce stuff off me, and then they'd like go back and be like, okay, I'm gonna reapproach this, Yeah, very, very minor intervention from me. It really was just being that kind of sounding board and just sort of being like, yes, I can see that is annoying. but this is, you know, just very...
Yeah.
And I remember particularly one of the kids, one of the juice makers, just said to me, community is so annoying. and I was like, yeah, no, it can be. Yes. It can be. It's really hard to, like... you know, share the play around with everyone, like, and saying that, he just sort of, you could see him go, okay, well, I've said that, I've got that off my chest.
Yes.
And actually, so it really does sound, kind of sounds like I'm making this up, because it sounds like quite utopian, but where this actually ended up was the juice makers decided to open up the shed, the cafe, in their words, to the community, so people could make their own juice. So
utopia as possible.
They got there. But yeah, I think it was just, which I do ultimately feel like it was a really joyful thing to witness. Like I said, there was upset and there was difficulties, but there was also creativity. There was compassion for each other. At points, you know, there was points where it was like they didn't care what the other person was saying, but there was also taking time for each other,
and like an outlet for a protest that was creative, that was performing what you know a protest to be. So it's like a little sidestep into kind of exploring something out and making it fun, which takes the edge off the crossness. But it sounds also then tipped back into being more cross, because it escalated it.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely there was a lot of flow, a lot of cycles of different emotions going on. But yeah, I think about it quite a lot because it really felt like just witnessing something really like very special. Just seeing this whole, I think there's also that thing of like you, as an adult, you rarely I think get to see like almost like what feels like a whole kind of play cycle or play frame play out. Whereas it felt like I got to see everything, you know? Go ahead, Sarah.
Well, no, just the whole thing about it ending well, you know, I know, like, but you know, it's a danger. You feel like you've put a frame on it to give it a tidy story, but like you say, it's not, it is a whole play experience.
Yeah.
It did end well, and it can, and the play sometimes drifts off, but sometimes it does have a function in a community, even if it's a community like, but it, you know, yeah, but what were you going to say?
I was going to say, well, so many things, but yeah, when I was thinking about what different kinds of play there could be there, I was thinking about, you know, there's communication stuff, there's creativity, there's a lot of social stuff, maybe some like role-playing stuff as well. But there was also almost like, I think about recapitulative play. And I was like, is this some kind of modern version? Because it's like, it's not warfare with swords anymore.
Yeah.
It's taking a different system of conflict and playing with that. So something really interesting.
I think when we talked about it a while ago, it reminded me again of me and my sister doing a playful protest about our pocket money in the 1980s.
Yes.
And the same thing, but that was very social. That was my awareness of strikes on the telly in the 80s, you know, that was how do you get what you want? You do a strike or a protest. And I didn't really think about doing the strike because I'm not quite sure I thought I did anything for my pocket money, but I did the protest. So actually, it's quite interesting that you say, is that a product of the times? And mine was really like, I want more, I'll demand it and make a fuss, although playfully, because I'm a child. But yours led to a community change, you know, like a redistribution of power.
Yeah.
So more exciting, really.
And it's definitely, I'd say, like, as a community of the kids that go to Rumbus, like, they're pretty politically aware, I think. There are a lot of kids who are, like, marginalised in various ways, so of course they're aware, you know? They have to be.
Yeah.
Which is, like, this weird thing of, obviously, like, yeah, that sucks that they have to be, but also there's a relief that I feel as an adult being like, okay, cool, like...
Yeah, yeah.
Protesting, you know,
is part of your...
It's like it should be. It needs to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
But
then, for the other children to think part of the protest game is for us to concede something or to change something, like it's the to and fro of that relationship. Or I suppose they probably they didn't want to for a while, but then where does it go? I mean.
Yeah, and I think there was also for the kids who were being protested.
Yeah.
They were also, I guess, maybe being put in the role of the bad guys, and they didn't like that, which is fair enough. And I mean, to be clear, I don't think there was any bad guys in this situation. But they were kind of suddenly finding themselves in a role that they didn't decide to take on, because in play, often people decide to be the bad guy. They decide to be the antagonist, and they weren't doing that in this case, which is one of the reasons why I was paying particular attention, because I think with sort of any kind of conflict as an adult in the play space, it's like my thing is, the way I see it is like, conflict doesn't automatically mean I step in. Conflict means I pay attention, and you look out for, often where you step in is where there's like power differences, right? When it's like, when you don't feel like the kids there have the capacity, or the resources to do that themselves. So
conflict's been created by another person going, you're the one without the power, and I'm going to play on you in a way, play with you, but you're not equal to it. So yeah, on that one, it's like they felt like, hang on, we've not agreed to be the baddies in this game. Like we're not baddies. You're unjust. But then they were in a situation where they could find their way out of it by saying we're not the bad. Yeah, it was a conflict that wasn't too power imbalanced, but had that hint of it.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, But yeah, it was, like I said, I think about it a lot as like a thing that I got to like witness and kind of be this borderline part of.
I'm doing that thing where I'm thinking about a book and I've got the book to my hand because I was reading it earlier about democracy and play being about a process of democracy at times.
Yeah.
You see, I think it can't always, because you say it sometimes it's painful in ways that the power imbalance isn't there. But in that one, that was such a sort of, you know, it is an example of it emerging into a sort of sense of democracy in a very, like, really political way, which is quite unusual, really. But that's why it sticks in your mind, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I think it was really interesting because, like I said, it kind of resolved. We got to this utopian place of them opening up the space to the community. And then when kids were later getting sort of picked up by their adults, I heard several of them sort of recounting it as a story that had happened. And it was really interesting seeing that really quick processing of this is a story, this one, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, often when you see kids getting picked up, that's what they did, and they'll sort of throw in dogs, go, just playing, just having fun. But they were like, here's the story of what happens. Here's where I felt there was injustice. Here was where there was justice. Here's, you know. It's just fascinating. And
that's the thing, and you're telling the story now, and I'm hearing it and connecting it with other stories, and it becomes... You know, storytelling in itself is like a playing of ideas that we are kind of going, it's this and it's that, what was going on? Then there's a silliness to it as well, like you say, it was just some juice, it was a bit, you know.
Well, I think that's the thing, right? The underpinning it all was this thing that wasn't really that high stakes, like no one's really getting hurt here, you know, whereas if it had been a protest about something else that was more serious, then that may be something different. But yeah, I think it's like the undercurrent of what this is actually about is about a disagreement over how much diluting juice should be watered down.
But you know, also when you were talking about the beginning and talking about the fun in the involved and they were, I don't know if you said the word chanting, but maybe that's what triggered in my head was that's what adults do when we protest in that way. When you see people marching, I know there's particularly a move now for protest to be kind of creative and enjoyable and playful because that increases joy in the world. But even on an angry protest march, there's community and joy, isn't there? And chanting and rhythm and kind of music, you know, all those things that keep people together. So it's part of the adult world, isn't it? That playfulness. It's lovely. It's funny, when we first talked about doing this, because we're coming to the end now, when we talked about doing this, I spent some time wandering around frowning, thinking, this is terrible, I'm really out of touch, I really need to focus in on play and think about a thing. And it's done just, you know, for me, it's just been so, it has been so good again, just to reconnect with actual play examples. And now I'm thinking, oh, we could talk about this, but I think bringing it down to an actual example and an object, do you know what I mean? Really?
Yeah.
Makes you pay attention, like you say, what your job is, to pay attention rather than, oh, I have to intervene. You're like, hang on, no, I need to pay more attention to the conflict to see where it, if it needs me. That's what, you know, that for me, thinking, right, let me look at something like a carrot in more detail. It's just pleasurable, it's playful, pleasurable, interesting, challenging.
It definitely makes, you definitely made me want to think about food and play a little bit more. Partly because I'm aware it's one of those things that I have like quite a squeamish reaction to it, so I'm just like, ooh, right. what's that about? And what does that mean in terms of
what will others experience
and what can I what might be a barrier to me facilitating stuff and what might be interesting to explore.
I'm going to suggest we end, but because we're relaunching these, we haven't done one for a while, I'm going to make the sentence of like going, people who are out there who are listening, you could maybe comment, you could maybe say, tell us some ideas that you are thinking of, like food or democracy, protest, or, you know, please do get in touch or put a post on underneath wherever this is and wherever you hear or see it. So that's my little thing, and I'm going to just, and we'll stop there, if that's all right.
Thanks for listening. That was the Play Talk podcast. See you next time.